You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Jeremy Gann. Jeremy, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Jeremy, let me explain to the listeners why we're speaking. And the reason is because your father-in-law had submitted a post to the American Free Press website about your wife, his daughter. And I'm going to read that post. And then after I read the post, before we get into the story and how everything unfolded, I want the audience to learn a little bit about you and your wife and your family.
Okay.
The reason that I read the post is because I am the web editor for American Free Press. So every post comes in for moderation, and I make sure that it's not spam. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's dirty language. I cut that out. And then I format them. And so, of course, I read every post. I read everything. And I read this, and of course, I was heartbroken and disgusted because this is something that if someone has been paying attention to this topic, black-on-white crime, they know exists, and it's covered up by the mainstream media. And if people really don't understand that the mainstream media has an agenda, and it's an agenda that really wants to destroy the white race, if they can't see that yet, I don't know what to tell them. I can't help them. So here it goes. Please pray for my daughter, Lindsay Gann. She coaches a girls' 14 and under softball team that my granddaughter plays on in Topeka, Kansas. Her husband, Jeremy, also coaches their son's team. This Thursday, several black parents made racial comments and threatened to attack her after she had confronted several children for hitting and bullying other younger kids. A league official present commended Lindsay for how she handled the incident. All appeared resolved. Last night, today is Sunday, so this happened Thursday.
Yes, sir.
Okay, last night, two adult black females and one juvenile black, I guess, as well.
Jeremy. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Viciously stalked and attacked her in the parking lot as approximately 20 blacks cheered them on and yelled racial slurs. After slamming her in her truck door, they drug her around by the hair and bashed her head on the truck repeatedly. Police arrived and detained the three as Lindsay was transported to the hospital by ambulance. They never could have taken her one-on-one, and they knew it. Jeremy was unable to help her as he was confronted by the crowd and another large black male. My daughter has always embraced every child and tried to be a good role model and mentor to them. We just got word that police declined to arrest the attackers at the scene, and several officials have since phoned, expressing their concern. She was told that it would be up to the prosecuting attorney to pursue charges, as conflicting statements were given. Thus far, police have failed to interview several independent witnesses. Municipalities nationwide are making an effort to downplay these violent incidents of black-on-white attacks. This sounds exactly out of the pages of White Girl Bleed a Lot by Colin Flaherty. And, of course, I read the whole book, and I interviewed Colin. I told you before the interview, Jeremy, that I was the first person in the media to interview Colin on his book, White Girl Bleed a Lot. And, of course, he has another book after that, I think, called Don't Make the Black Kids Angry. And he fully documented this nationwide epidemic of black-on-white violence. And, of course, I've been covering it for many years, but when I got this comment here, I was heartbroken and disgusted. And I reached out to Randy, and Randy, I guess, reached out to you and said that you would be more than happy to talk to us. Now that the listeners know about what we're talking about here, let's find out a little bit about you.
Well, my name is Jeremy Gann. I'm 33 years old. I'm married. We've been married since 2004. We have two children. Our daughter's 13 and our son's 10. My daughter's name's Haley, and my son's name is Braden. They both play softball and baseball. I'm a master electrician. I currently work for my wife, Lindsay. We have our own home business, IBW Small Shop, and we're just getting started here. And had a few good years of business and doing well. And then we have a tragedy like this come along. So,
where were you born and raised, Jeremy?
I was born and raised in Kansas City.
Kansas City, Kansas, or Kansas City, Missouri?
Kansas City, Kansas.
Because a lot of folks don't realize that there's a Kansas City, Kansas. That's why I brought that up.
That's right. Yeah. My parents met in the Marine Corps. I have a twin brother. Unfortunately, my parents split at a young age, and I lived with my mom until we were about 10. And then after that, I moved to Topeka with my dad, and I've been here ever since. I met my wife shortly after high school. I was 21 when we got married, and we've been happy and together ever since. So we're definitely beating all odds as far as relationship status against, as far as the statistics go.
Yeah.
You know, being young parents and working hard to survive.
Yeah, it's not easy nowadays, that's for sure. And it's not getting any easier.
That's right.
Seems like that's the plan. Lindsay, she was born and raised in Kansas as well?
Yeah, she
Okay.
was born and raised here in Topeka, Kansas. She's lived around, actually, the area we live in now. She's lived here her whole life. Her parents were both born and raised here. Actually, quite a few generations of their family have born and raised here in Topeka.
Let me just give the listeners a little update, and myself too, about Topeka, which is the state capital of Kansas. And I'm reading this from Wikipedia, which is a good source for this type of information. When you get into more elaborate information, they censor material. So I sometimes surprise the listeners of that who aren't aware of that. I just want to preface it with that. I am reading this from Wikipedia. Looks like it was founded in 1854 and incorporated 3 years later. The population is under 130,000. And I want to go right to the demographics. It looks like, if this is correct, the racial makeup of the city is about 76% white, 11% black, 1.5% Native American, about the same Asian, and Hispanic or Latino of any race were 13.4% of the population. Non-Hispanic whites were 69.7%, down from 86% in 1970. So the white population went from 86% in 1970, now it's below 70. And
Yeah.
it looks like Hispanics are 13%, blacks are 11%, and a smattering of some other races. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, well, that probably seems a little off, actually. I mean, as far as, we've got a quite a big influx of Hispanics moving in. Seems like since we're a right-to-work state, seems like they're flocking here to find a job that they can't find in other states. They
Yeah.
require more credentials and things like that.
They might be undercounting the Hispanic.
Yeah, I don't, and that's probably a little outdated.
Well, that's from the 2010 census.
I'd say we're slipping downwards pretty quick from those numbers, if I was to guess, as far as the numbers of whites versus the rest of races in Topeka.
Yeah, that seems to be the trend.
The people that, are able to get a good enough job to buy a better house on the outskirts are doing it. We're seeing it throughout our neighborhood and other neighborhoods with our friends and family alone, and all their friends and family. People that can get out are trying to get out. And now we're surrounded by, we've got neighborhoods full of rental houses that, unfortunately the property owners aren't taking care of like they should. And it's probably like most cities, unfortunately, around the country today. People that have money are moving out to where they can get away from the stuff. They have a bad incident like this happen. We're considering it. After this incident with us, we're considering selling our house and leaving the city. And because this isn't the first incident we've had. Unfortunately, a lot of these people that attacked my wife, they do have means to find out where we live, and they actually made the threats of coming to do so. So how far do you go to protect your wife and children? So that's what I'm faced with now.
Wikipedia said about 11% of Topeka are black, which is, I guess, about the average across the United States. Have you had any relationships with blacks in Topeka, or do you have any black friends?
Our niece and nephew are interracial. My sister-in-law has two children that we love very much, and we help take care, actually three, and then we take care of and watch them when we can. And fortunately, she moved a little bit away from town, so we're not able to help her as much as we'd like to. Being racial doesn't run in our family. We love everybody as brothers and sisters. Color of skin has no meaning to us. We see people and treat people like we want to be treated, and we expect the same thing out of them. That's what we've been born and raised to do since we were little kids. At least how my wife and I are raised.
That makes sense to a thinking and reasoning person, but
Right.
obviously
Right,
these
exactly.
people who did this to Lindsay are not people. They're not thinking and reasoning, obviously. They're
No.
basically savages. I'm saying this on my own. Whether or not you wish to comment on it is entirely up to you. I'm at the point where I'm entirely disgusted with these animals and what they do, and that's why I'm talking like this. I hate to see good people attacked. I hate to see anybody attacked, but especially good people who haven't done a darn thing and then put in the
Right.
hospital. Thank you for explaining that. You said this was your sister-in-law.
Yeah, our niece and nephew.
Her husband isn't around, or he is?
I'm not sure what the status is with their relationship.
I should
The
have said the dad.
dad, I'm not sure what their status is currently, honestly. I think they're actually separated currently, and I'm not sure that they ever got married.
Do you know if the dad plays a part in the children's lives?
Be right honest about it, I think he's been in and out of jail a few times, not just jail, prison.
And he's black. He's
Yeah.
black. Besides your niece and nephew, who are, I guess, half white and half black, do you have any other relations with the blacks in Topeka?
Oh, yeah. Our baseball and softball teams both have black children, and we treat them just like every other kid on the team. We both have 12 to 13 kids on our teams, and, you know, honestly, I don't even keep track of which race of kid I have on my team because they're all my kids. There to teach them how to play ball, and that's it. My wife actually has extended cousins that are African American, and they live down in Georgia. I think that's, as far as close relationships, that would be the closest that we have. Our family is interracial. We're diverse. It's not like we judge one kid or the other on our baseball team by any means.
Right. And I guess these people who attacked Lindsay weren't aware of what we're talking about now, I guess.
Well, I should give you a little history on how it came about. We've been involved with the softball and baseball league out here in our neighborhood for a number of years. You know, our daughter's 13, our son's 10. And the first time I coached her t-ball team was when she was 5. We've been involved with our kids' sports since they were little bitty. So last year, my wife was on a team where the head coach so happened to be African American. She treated the girls real bad. My daughter, included with all the other girls that decided to leave the team, came to my wife's softball team this year. The lady that instigated the attack, the aggressor in this whole situation, currently has kids on this coach's softball team. So there's a huge animosity at the fields, unfortunately, between teams with this ex-coach. My wife is like, okay, we're moving on. That's in the past. Well, unfortunately, this other coach is like, no, we still got this huge chip on our shoulder. So the other night at my baseball game, when everything kicked off last Thursday night with this whole situation, the argument that led into the attack the next night, this same lady is being fed all this information from this coach from last year. It's like a giant snowball, and it's culminated with an attack on my wife this year. So that's pretty much where we're at. That's how the whole attacker came into play. My wife went over and handled a bullying situation between kids that was going on at my baseball game behind our dugout. Rocks being thrown, names being called. My daughter was actually physically hit, and that's when my wife decided to go over and say, this needs to stop right now. It was the exact words she said. Perked my ears up. I'm in the dugout. I'm like, what is going on? Here comes this lady, the mother of the attacking children, I believe, which happens to be the same lady I just described from last year's softball season. So it's a big old tangled mess. She comes over and proceeds to popping her knuckles saying, you know, what are you talking about my kids for? And calling my wife all kinds of racial slurs. And the league reps actually stepped in front of her to keep it from getting physical. And like the Facebook post said, we thought it was resolved by the league official that night. I think he probably said, if you don't knock this off, you're going to be kicked out of the field. And I don't think they wanted that at the time. So the following night, my wife has a softball game at the softball fields, and the attacking mom from the night before, her kids' team was playing on an adjacent softball field. So they're waiting in the outfield by the corner of the fence. We played our game. First time we saw these people, they were standing at the corner of the fence like they were waiting for us to walk by after leaving the dugout with my wife's whole softball team. There's two assistant coaches, one man and one woman, I believe, myself, and I think a couple other mothers. We were all heading to the truck together. We walked by a few of these young ladies. We didn't even understand what the situation was. We walked probably 100 yards past them, and one of our softball girls just so happened to stop and turn around and look at them, and they said, what, mother effers, you got a problem, and here they all come. And I immediately turned and said, get in the truck now. And by the time we got all the gear thrown in the back of the vehicle, we were probably 50 feet from the truck. We probably had just walked 80 to 100 yards across the open field to the parking lot, which just so happened to be a school parking lot. There's a school parking lot adjacent to the softball field, and that's where the attack took place. It was actually in a school parking lot. I got the gear bag thrown in the driver's side of the truck. Imagine we're in a parking lot where all the vehicles are parked. Four girls ran around the backside of my truck on the passenger side, and the big assistant coach guy, he was over there trying to pull girls off my wife, and immediately I was confronted by her ex-husband. I'm a pretty big dude. I'm 6'5", 200 pounds, and when I say this guy's big, I'm looking him in the eyes, and he's a big guy, and he's in my face calling me racial slurs, threatening me, so I didn't turn my back on him. I couldn't turn my back on him. So now he's baited me to not be able to pull these girls off of my wife. And they're pulling her hair, scratching her face, bashing her head on the truck. One of them jumped through the driver's side of my truck. My daughter was in the back of the truck crying. all our kids are screaming. Fortunately, one of the softball girls pulled her cell phone out, and we've got two videos. After the physical confrontation, pretty much right after the confrontation got over, we have the videos of everybody that was involved, just not the incident. But we're hoping we can get the school camera footage tomorrow morning after we go down to the police station, and hopefully we're going to have to more than likely find us a good lawyer. Now we're getting into fighting the city and the county and the parks. The kicker to the whole deal, not only was it just pulling hair, scratching her face and her arm, slamming her head in the truck, the mother of the girl slamming the truck door on her. One of the little girls actually slapped me in the face, knocked my glasses off my head. 10 other people standing 100 feet back from us that were ready to pounce. If I made a move, I don't know if they were armed. I couldn't do anything else. I was pinned down. I felt trapped. And, you know, honestly, it's a pretty shitty feeling when you can't protect your wife and your kids. And that's what's killing me the most right now, looking back on the whole thing. And try to be strong to this whole deal. But it's getting to me. You know, it's been wearing on me for the last 2 days since it happened. My wife's in here hurt. She's got 10 screws and a plate in her neck from a surgery is what compounds this attack even further. She's been in a tragic car accident, and she's had multiple surgeries. She actually already had a broken screw in her neck from a fall she had. So when 3 or 4 girls are yanking around on her head, that's a big deal. It's not good. She's lived in chronic pain for 3 years since the car wreck. Well, that was after the surgeries. It's been 5 or 6 years since the wreck. And she's dealt with chronic pain in her neck every day. I mean, she still goes to the doctor for chronic pain management, and she's been healing for 3 years. So with this attack, it's only taken her back to square one, I'm afraid. And we don't know yet. We went to the emergency room, had a CT, but we felt like we need to get a second opinion. It's not good.
Yeah.
Dang near bankrupted us, honestly. We've struggled through it. We've worked through it. We're both hard workers. And to have something like this happen, it's really frustrating. It's beyond the point of enraged. I'm just glad I didn't do anything I regretted. My wife and kids all lived through it. And all of our softball girls lived through it so far. I mean, we've got ball games tomorrow. I can tell you for sure my wife won't be there. We're on the fence whether we're leaving the league. But tomorrow there's an executive board meeting with the Baseball and Softball Association to decide what to do with all these people, because this is not the first incident that they've had with this exact group of people. 3 years ago, there was a controversial call on the field, and they blocked the umpires, the whole team. They stood in a crowd, and they blocked their vehicles at the field, and they did not let them leave. And these people were allowed back to the ballparks after this. I don't know how. So it seems like a lot of things need answered still. They said we're going to get all the witness information from the police station Monday morning. They didn't even give us a case number. My wife was hauled off in the ambulance. None of our independent witnesses were even interviewed from the count. They took my information, and that was it. My wife didn't have time to give a formal statement. Well, there was an officer there, a security officer at the hospital. Also, the police officers nor the emergency room staff took photos of any of the injuries. So we took it upon ourselves to get contact and witness information. I've got 5 pages on a legal pad of notes from 2 days of events that I know for sure of the timeline of events and names. And we've got 14 witnesses, which is 5 adults and 9 children. I have all their names and info. We do have independent witness that was not partial to either side. I'm still trying to contact her. I'm hoping we can get her to call us back and say that she will still back us up on this as an independent witness.
Let's go back to Thursday night. It started, I guess, with the racial slurs. Is that how it began? What were they actually saying? You could use the actual language that they used.
The names that were called on Thursday night, white cracker, honky, I'm going to cheat you, white bitch.
And that guy who came and confronted you, he was also using racial.
Yeah, he was.
What was he saying?
Pretty much the same things. What are you, a bitch, you fucking cracker?
Really?
What you want to do now, you honky? He was face to face with me, 10 feet from my wife, and all I could think about is I'm not letting this guy get into this fight. I'm told he was present on Thursday night as well when the initial confrontation took place. And see, the whole kicker of this thing is I'm more than certain Thursday night's events, they went home and premeditated the attack for Friday because they can look at the softball schedule and see we've got a game. And they were waiting for us to leave the ball field. Looking back on the whole thing, I've kind of drawn that conclusion. They waited for us to get to the parking lot, and they ran up on us, and they knew they would catch us off guard when we least expected, right as we were getting in the truck.
Right.
Kids were all screaming. Made you feel about as tall as an ant.
Yeah.
When you're supposed to be the protector.
Kansas is a pretty liberal state when it comes to guns, right?
Right. Unfortunately, we had none on us that night. We didn't think we needed it at the ball field.
Right.
I'm not even sure if it's legal to carry at a ball field. I can tell you there's no sign saying that you can't carry. So I don't know. It's something we're checking into as well. I can tell you, I went out and bought some extra mace today. There's 100 things we can look back and say we should have done. And we consider ourselves to be pretty adept at preparing ourselves for situations like this. And we missed it. We were not ready.
Right. I guess you probably start carrying everywhere now,
yeah,
considering.
Yes.
And hopefully it's not going to escalate into something.
That's just it. Looking back on it, if I did have a weapon, I would have pulled it. We got 15 people I care about around. What's the other guys going to start doing? Are they armed? There's just 1,000 scenarios we
right.
could go through. I was just so afraid for everybody else's children, and not only mine, but the other coach's children. I would have had a hard time pulling a gun and pulling the trigger that night because they had my wife in a headlock. I couldn't have shot nobody then. Maybe I would have been able to defend myself a little better against the male, but his buddies were standing 100 feet away, and I'm way outnumbered. So both my parents were Marines, and they taught me a few things about surviving. And sometimes you find another way around the battle, so you don't go right through them.
Probably shouldn't beat yourself up over this, Jeremy. I mean, you probably did the right thing.
It's pretty hard.
You probably did the right thing, and hopefully justice will prevail in this.
I never would have thought all the things I've been seeing on social media and the news for the last 5 or 6 years was going to happen to me, I can tell you that.
You said that Lindsay could have taken him one-on-one.
Well, my father-in-law said that, yeah. She's known to be able to handle her own, you know, as far as other than being hurt with the car wreck. She dealt with her little brother being bullied all the way through school as protector. So this isn't the first attack she's actually been in. She was in high school. There was an attack. There's another mass of black people that massed up at the high school where she attended, which is just down the road from this ball field. They were picking on her little same instance. They were picking on somebody she loved, and she stood up for them. And fortunately, she didn't sustain any serious injuries. I think one of them got a mechanical pencil stab in. But other than that, I've seen her knock out a guy bigger than me before by herself. So it's not like she's not going to handle her own when she can. She was very much ambushed and surprised. Her main concern was her kids and me. She loves us very much. So we're both willing to try to protect each other as far as it goes. Unfortunately, we were in such a hurry on Friday that our personal protection wasn't taken with us.
We're obviously in the year 2016. My mom was born in 1932 when she went to school in New Jersey. And of course, things are a lot different back in 1932. Mm-hmm. Well, some things. Same exact thing happening with the blacks in the 1930s.
Yes.
And I didn't connect the dots because it was something my mom was saying. They used to make one of the kids in school crawl around on the floor like a dog, bark and stuff. And of course, it didn't really make sense to me, or it didn't stick with me. But now seeing what we have been seeing, as you mentioned about social media, seeing what we're seeing here now, it makes sense. So this actually has existed, this behavior. And we're not talking about all blacks, of course. There are people who are going to say, oh, you're racist, which is why they're getting away with this, is because the mainstream media plays into this whole thing. And as soon as you talk straight, they want to call you names. But no, this has been happening for a long time. Why is it happening to us? That's what people need to ask. Why are these people being allowed to do this? Who is saying that it's okay for them to do this? Why has it been going on for 80 years? Why have certain black people felt that they can terrorize certain white people? It's not something new.
You know, like going back to the social media thing, the knockout game of groups of black kids going around knocking people out. I feel like this is just a fraction of a hair different from one of those situations. My wife is attacked. It can happen anywhere at any time. This is not as big a town as most, where you have high rates of crime and robberies and gang crimes. And I'm sure I don't even know half the stuff that, because I'm not from one of those big cities. It's just the last thing you'd expect when you're spending your little bit of extra time with your kids at the ball field and an attack like this happens. It's very unfortunate.
So Topeka, we can add to the list of cities across the country that you wouldn't expect would have this level of racial violence, but I guess it does. And for some reason, the police are complicit, obviously. They didn't take any photographs. They didn't arrest the people who clearly did it.
They detained them, but they released them. That's right, because why the attack was going on, all these little girls kept saying was, we're minors, you can't do nothing to us. We're minors, you can't do nothing to us. They were all saying it.
Almost like they were taught to say that.
Exactly.
So right now, Lindsay is resting?
She's resting.
And are the kids out of school yet?
Yeah, the kids are out of school. Lindsay's assistant coach has them at her house, and she's watching them for a couple of days.
How are they doing?
Well, they haven't been here much since the whole thing happened. And my son spent the night, and we had a baseball game Saturday morning. They're totally traumatized, and my son actually had a breakdown at his baseball game yesterday morning when he's out on the field. That tore me up pretty bad. You know, it's pretty ballsy to be out the morning after your wife gets attacked playing baseball with your son, but I sure did it. I wouldn't even let my kids down.
This came at a bad time, obviously, for you and your family, for the business, for everything.
As a contractor, we pay our own health insurance, so we've currently fallen behind and couldn't keep up through slow time, and we currently don't have medical insurance. So that's going to be another thing that's going to be a huge issue for us here moving forward, because we've been through it before when ambulance rides and emergency room trips weren't covered. We barely made it through. We're a hardworking middle-class family trying to make ends meet like a lot of other families in this country today. Limited resources, we're going to do our best.
We spoke before the interview, and you had said that you're not the type of people who ask anybody for anything, but sometimes you have to, and you put together a GoFundMe page here to help you through this very tough time. If anybody would like to help out the Gann family, I'm sure that they would very much appreciate it. Jeremy, I appreciate all the time you spent explaining all this to me and to the listeners, and looking forward to hearing some good news from you in the future, and my best to your wife and to your whole family, and I hope things go smoothly for you, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
All right, Dave, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate your assistance and getting our story out there, definitely.
Joining me on the line now is Randy Robbins, Lindsay's dad. Randy, thanks for coming on and speaking to us.
Sure, Dave, I'm happy to.
Thank you for coming over to the website and leaving that post, because I'm the one who, you might not have heard this because I was speaking to Jeremy, but I'm the one who gets all the posts and formats them and either approves them or declines them. I don't decline anything. I only decline like spam or people who are cursing and making no sense. So every post gets up there. But when I read your post, it was particularly disturbing. And that's why I reached out to you. So thank you so much for leaving that post. And I'm able now to speak to you and Jeremy and get the story out to the American people.
Sure. I was blessed to be able to reach out to you. I live in Joplin, Missouri, and I got the news and drove up to be with Lindsay and kind of started finding out how this whole thing unraveled yesterday after I got the news. And it's kind of, you know, had some strange twists to it, and it's just a very unfortunate incident. I was born and raised in Topeka, and our families had friends of every ethnicity for all our lives, and we never really looked at anything through any kind of racial eyes until this thing.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that it had to happen to your daughter. I'm a dad, and I can't imagine. Obviously, it could have been a lot worse. Are you a reader of American Free Press?
Yes, I believe I've followed you on Facebook for some time. I can't tell you how long, because, you know, you don't all get notifications of everything that you post. I don't think I'm always notified of everything, but I do run across some of your material from time to time. I've always found it honest and enlightening.
We appreciate that. Yeah, we just recently started up Facebook, part of the operation. A nice fella by the name of Jacob handles that. Well, thank you for visiting the site, leaving the post, and anything else that you would want to comment on regarding this matter, Randy?
Well, it's just a sad commentary on the current state of our society and maybe even our leaders and how they have moved the needle on race relations in this nation.
That's a nice way of saying it. They have. It's coming right from the top.
Yes, and sir. I read things and I try and stay informed on things, and I haven't ever in my lifetime until recently saw the vitriol and things coming from African-American leaders like Sharpton and Farrakhan and even our own president over the Trayvon Martin case and the Ferguson incident and the college professor and on and on and on. And I think that we're seeing a new atmosphere of racial division in the country like I've never experienced in my lifetime.
Yeah, when he was supposed to unite the races. Hope and change. Well, he said he was going to fundamentally transform America, and it seems like he's doing it.
It's straight from the Saul Alinsky playbook.
There you go. Thank you very much. That's correct. Sure. If anybody knows anything about this guy, whatever his name is, who's in the White House, and I say that because I've studied it, if anybody knows anything about him, they'll know that he basically came out of nowhere. He came out of left field. He basically had no signature, had no life, had no history. There is still that $1 million reward out on the table for anyone who will come forward and say that they remember him from Columbia University. I always say, geez, I wish I went to Columbia. Why couldn't anything like that happen to me? And the reason that I'm bringing this up is because it directly relates to what happened to your daughter, I feel. And I just hope that she heals real quick and you guys get a great lawyer and something good comes out of this, because nobody deserves this, but especially nice people. They're minding their own business. They're trying to raise their family. They're trying to do what's right, not breaking the law. And then these people are emboldened by what's coming down from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, thinking that they can get away with it. And they can. Like that mayor of Baltimore said, give them room to destroy. I mean, we really don't have to go any further than that. When they're getting the message from the White House, when they're getting the message from other leaders, and like you mentioned, Sharpton and these other clowns, these other race hustlers, when they're getting this message, they say, hey, let's go beat up this cracker. We can do whatever we want. Let's taunt her, call her all these names. Of course, you can't call them names, but they can call you whatever they want, and they could bang their head in the door and slam the door. The good thing is, if there is something good to come out of all this, is that it has never been, as you said, Randy, it has never been more evident. You know, it seems like they're moving at light speed here to fulfill their agenda.
I agree. I share your sentiment. I feel we're on the verge of losing our nation.
Well, let's hope that something good happens, my friend. And thank you. And I hope your daughter gets well real quick. And we'll talk to you real soon.
God bless you, Dave. Thanks for your concern.